Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now, you that have walked in the light, but you have been plagued by the darkness, there have been moments in your life where the darkness has overcome. I speak to you today that I have risen, that I am the light of life. I shall come into your dark places and pierce the darkness. I shall destroy what the enemy has come to destroy you. For I have overcome. My life flows through you this day. So rise, rise in faith, for I have overcome, and you will overcome. The darkness shall not have place in your life. Light shall shine and bring forth truth, saith the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord. We hear this choir and the orchestra. Even the flowers are singing to us today. They like trumpets. It's amazing the life that you feel in this place. It's the presence of the Lord. We come and we sing and we say, He's alive, because He's alive in our hearts. When we become a born-again Christian, it is a life-changing experience. It is a journey that we are on now. Life has come into us, and true life begins to travel throughout this earth. Our spirit becomes alive in Christ Jesus. We were created by God for a purpose, for a reason, to bring life where there was death. Yet it's so easy to allow the cares of this life to rob us of living the kind of life that would really please God. John 10:10 says, I've come that you might have life and have it in all of its fullness. If you are unfulfilled in the life that you're now living, consider seeking the life that Jesus came to give you. He came to give you an abundant, fulfilled life. He came to the earth overcoming death, and the grave could not hold him. And this morning, we remember, he was victorious over death. Hallelujah! He's alive! He's alive! And all of us are eagerly waiting for all creation, when all creation will receive this newness of life. No more corruption. See, his mission when he came was to destroy what Satan has stolen from mankind. And it didn't come through military might. Didn't come through the power of a sword. It was a humble life that was laid down. A life that was given as a sacrifice, showing the true heart of a servant king. He was a perfect man, a perfect sacrifice. Yet he came and he destroyed the power of sin, the power of death that held creation in its grips. God's plan for redemption was validated on a Sunday morning when Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus shattered the shackles of the grave, and he arose in power with a blinding light. His resurrection became our hope. Romans 8:11, and the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the spirit who lives in you. The simplicity of the gospel, here it is. It's the good news. It's eternal life. It's Christ in you. It is the hope of glory. Christ Jesus, who is alive within us. Today, around the world, Christians are gathering, celebrating, singing, rejoicing, not just here at Bethany, though we do it better than others. Hallelujah! Singing and rejoicing and praising the Lord. His resurrection offers hope and a chance at a new life. And we have come alive through His mercy today, and eternal life is our future. Christianity is not universalism. Not everyone will accept His gift of life. The religious leaders of Jesus' day could not stand Him. They did not understand who He really was. He disrupted their understanding of who God should be. They wanted their justice. He preached His mercy. They sought judgment. He preached forgiveness of sinners. They wanted control. He rebuked the hardness of their heart. He was an inconvenience to their system. His death and resurrection changed the world forever. And when He enters into life, He changes us completely. Jesus likened it unto a marriage where the two become one. In John chapter 17 and verse 6, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in this world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse number 9, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. My hope is that anyone who sees us sees Jesus, that we become one with Him. When the bride marries the bridegroom, they become one. It's not enough to simply find God. You must marry Him. The two must become one. Our roots in Judaism and are found in the Passover. We celebrate this wondrous deliverance. They celebrated it from death just as we celebrate it. The blood on the Passover was put over the lintels and the doorpost. The angel of death saw the blood from the sacrifice of the lamb and the lintel and the doorpost and passed over the firstborn. Jesus symbolically breaks His body and sheds His blood to atone for the sin which brings death. Jesus dies on Passover, and He's in the tomb on the Sabbath. Then He rose on the day after the Sabbath, the same day as the day of the first fruit offerings from the harvest. The first fruit offerings are raised up, lifted up to God, consecrating the entire harvest that is to come. In Leviticus 23 and 9, it says, the Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you enter into the land I'm going to give you, you reap its harvest and bring to the priest. Jesus is the high priest. He's from the lineage of Aaron. And a sheaf of the first fruits of the grain harvest, you wave the sheaf before the Lord, so it will be accepted on your behalf. And the priest is to wave it on the day after the Sabbath. On the day you wave the sheaf, it must be a sacrifice as a burnt offering to the Lord, a lamb, a year old, without defect. It's lifted up. Jesus became the first fruit offering, lifted up to the Lord. In Leviticus 23 and 38, these offerings are in addition to those for the Lord's Sabbath, tithes, in addition to your gifts and whatever you have vowed on this free will offering, you give to the Lord. It's an addition to alms, addition to missions, As Pastor Stephen has mentioned, next Sunday we're going to take up a special offering because Passover is from the 20th to the 27th. The day after Passover, we're going to take a first fruits offering that is going to ensure the future of your church, of your household, and of yourself. It is a promise that God makes in the Word. And Jesus was weighed before the Lord, accepted by the Lord. He released the power of love and joy and hope and repentance and forgiveness where there was no hope, no joy, no love, no forgiveness, and no life. The miracle of resurrection took place in a tomb of darkness, hopelessness, and death. And the first fruits of new life came forth so that we also may be fruitful, overcoming death and the grave. You see, the resurrection of Christ is a revelation of what God intended for us to become. When you allow the living Word of God to enter into your heart, when you ask Jesus to come into your life, you become what you are destined to be. You become like Jesus. You're destined to be like Him. Jesus spoke of the day when we enter life. If we enter life, it should be a pleasant, glorious life. Scripture declares that all of creation groans with birth pains, and we live this life. It is a prenatal existence, similar to a child that is born in a womb. Children are not made to stay in the womb, nor are they to be taken prematurely from the womb. The womb was only to prepare them for the world that they would enter. The life, your life, is not, or this life, I should say, is not your destiny. The life that you're living today is not the life that God has complete planned for you. You have a destiny in God. This life is a preparation. God uses everything in our life to prepare us for that one great day, to prepare us for what He has for us, a day when we will be resurrected. The baby in the womb can never understand or judge their life by the time they're in the womb. Neither can you and I judge or understand our life by our present circumstances, but only by how those circumstances prepare us for heaven. And as they prepare us, as we grow as a child of God, the world becomes heaven's womb. The life we live now is heaven's womb until the resurrection brings eternal life. There's coming a day when the dead shall rise first, and we who are alive in Christ will be changed in the twinkling of an eye to a new resurrected life. 1 Thessalonians says, "For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we always be with the Lord forever." Forever. Until that day, we have been given a great commission. Until that day, we are on a life-changing journey. We're being changed day by day from glory to glory, faith to faith. God wants us to see it's not what He can do for us, but He wants us to understand who He is, who He really is. He is the resurrection. He is the life. He is the first fruits of a harvest of souls. The reason we have eternal life is not because God gives it to us, but it's because when we ask and we repent and we believe in the resurrected Christ, then God gives us Jesus. Then Jesus comes into our hearts and He's alive within us. Today He is alive. And this life of Christ is not only eternal, it's exciting. It's an exciting life Now we know that the thief came to steal. He came to kill and destroy. But the Bible tells us that Jesus came to bring us life. His purpose, the enemy's purpose, is to steal our children. The enemy's purpose is to steal our hopes, our faith, our dreams, and eventually even our life. But Jesus says, I have come that you might have abundant life, exciting life, an eternal life. There are many people today that are very interested in spiritual things, especially in the Christian world, the prophetic. Because I believe the end of the world will be very prophetic. God has a plan to bring about the prophetic increase in the hearts of God's people. And this is truly an exciting time to be alive because people are looking for the return of Jesus. Amen. We often look at life and we relate it to being on a roller coaster. How many of you like roller coasters? Not a lot of you. There's a few of you in this congregation that you've been on every roller coaster in the United States. I really like a roller coaster if my stomach is full. If it's not full, I don't like being on a roller coaster. It makes me sick. And life is sick when you're empty. When your soul isn't prospering, it feels empty and it's sickening. How many of you know we need our soul to prosper? But when Jesus puts his spirit into us, we no longer have this empty feeling. You can be on this roller coaster ride of life when you have Jesus. You can take your hands off of the bar and lift them high and say, hallelujah, what a ride. You can enjoy that roller coaster ride when you have Jesus in your heart. Now, some people get scared to death on a roller coaster. Today, if you're not a Christian, you could be scared to death because the roller coasters seem to be getting steeper, stronger with curves. But if you're a Christian, get ready. The greatest thrill of your life is about to happen. Amen. It's about to happen. Revelation 19, 11 through 16. Nothing greater than the Word of God. And God's Word says, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me there was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on them that no one knows but he himself. He's dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses, dressed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which he strikes down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his right thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And in verse 1 through 4 and 21 of book of Revelation, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a cloud in a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no mourning, no crying, no pain, for the order of things has passed away. Glory be to the will of God. Glory be to the will of God. Glory and honor to his purposes and plans. This body may be laid to rest in the dust. The soul will live forever, but this body one day, it will rise even as Jesus rose from the dead. Death is simply a moving day for a Christian. We move from mortality to immortality, from corruption to incorruption, from weakness to strength, from flesh to spirit, all because of one thing: Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and he is alive. He's alive. Hebrews 9:27. Just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. We know that Jesus actually died. But because he was without blemish, there was no sin in his life. There was no judgment upon him. He willingly became a sinless sacrifice for our sins. And on that third day, he rose from the dead. The resurrection is proof to every believer that we also will rise. Amen. That we also will receive resurrected life. This is a day when the good news is preached around the world. It's a witness that if God be for us, no one can be against us. Nothing can come against us. There's nothing more exciting than to know that God is directing your plans in your life. This morning, Jesus is saying to each of us, whoever lives, whoever believes in me, shall never die. Eternal life only demands one thing. You must take a step of faith. You must believe that Jesus came from heaven, died for your sins, rose again. You must believe who he said he was. And if you're in this service this morning, you've heard the gospel sung in a marvelous way, played with musical instruments, narrated the gospel, but it comes to one place where you must make a step of faith. If you're here in this service this morning and you would say in your heart, I'm not sure about my soul salvation. Maybe you have confessed Jesus, but it's been so long ago that you know that your heart is not where it needs to be. Today, you need to recommit your heart, or you need to ask Jesus to come into your life. If you're in that place, it's the only way to eternal life through Christ Jesus. He rose from the dead. He lives in those who repent and believe. And if you're here this morning, it's one step of faith. Jesus said it so many times, to as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the children of God. But you must respond with a humble heart and repent and ask him to come into your life. If you're here this morning and the Holy Spirit has spoke to you, whether through the music, whether through a message or the narration, but you know that you're not where you need to be with Christ, we want to give you an opportunity on this Easter Sunday to simply bow your heart and ask Jesus to forgive you and to come into your life and to cleanse you so that you might receive eternal life. If you're like that, we don't want to embarrass you. You're not going to join the church. We're just going to give you an opportunity for you to unburden yourself and to release your life into the hands of Christ. If you're here and say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not sure about my eternal life in Christ. Would you raise your hands high so I could see it if that's you? Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Main floor, balcony. Thank you for that hand in the balcony. Anybody else? It's really not a small thing when someone does that. It takes courage for you to do that. Because you have to come to a place where you believe that there's only one way that you're ever going to live for eternity. And that way was provided by a Savior, by God Himself, who came and took your place and took your sin upon His life. The only way is by believing and receiving Him. And that takes courage, because pride comes in the way. Humility is the only way. God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. So as you, two of you raised your hands, there may be others. If you're here today, if you will humble your heart before God, simply pray this prayer, and I'll lead you in this prayer. I know that when you open your heart and you pray a simple prayer to Jesus, He hears you and He responds to you. And He will come into your heart and He will change your life. And the journey that you will be on now will be the most exciting journey that you'll ever take, because the journey leads you to God's plan, purposes, and His divine nature will permeate your life, change your life. So pray this prayer with me, even if you didn't raise your hand. Let's pray it together. Lord Jesus, I do open my heart. I want to thank You that I still have ears to hear. And I believe in my heart that You came from heaven. You died upon this earth as a pure sacrifice to take away my sin. So I invite You to come into my life, to change me, to make me new. I ask You to help me follow You all the days of my life, that I might live a life that pleases You. And I thank You for hearing this simple prayer. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer after the service while people are shaking hands, if you'd like to come down front, you can. We'll have someone that will be here, an altar worker, that will pray with you. We have a book we want to give you. If you have purchased one of these lovely daffodils that have been preaching to me during the whole sermon, if you've purchased one on behalf of a loved one, please pick it up before you go home. And I want to wish you, on behalf of Bethany Assembly, on behalf of our pastoral staff, on behalf of our board, on behalf of the congregation, on behalf of Jesus, on behalf of everybody I could think about, I just want to thank you, because I told the first service, I'm going to miss this. I'm going to miss the choir. I'm going to miss all of you. It's coming way too soon for me. But I'm looking for the day when we will be reunited together at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'm looking forward to that day. I'll be a lot thinner, much more handsome. Some of you will have a lot more hair. We'll have this glorious body. We can be sure of it because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And He's the first fruits of a great harvest of souls. So that's why we celebrate Easter. Not only for what Jesus has done, but we also recognize our future in God is glorious because of Christ. Stand with me. Pastor Ken's going to lead us in a chorus in closing.
Oh, mighty cross, love lifted high.
His sacrifice.
His sacrifice.
God bless you. Happy Easter. Shake at least 90 hands before you go.